Well, let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this time in your word. Lead and guide our footsteps as we look at what you have to share for us in your word. And we just thank you and praise you, and may we be more Christ-like because of your word. In your name, amen. Last week, we looked at God's faithfulness in sending us a Savior, and we looked at how we fell into sin in the garden, and we checked out a list of prophecies about sending a Savior, and we saw some of the little things that are important things in Scripture, and we studied Simeon faithfully waiting for his Savior, and we talked about how we can have faith because God is faithful. And today we're going to look at God's faithfulness in his provision. So let's look at Psalm 65. This paints an amazing picture of God's faithfulness. Psalm 65. There will be silence before you and praise in Zion, O God, and to you the vow will be performed. O you who hear prayer, to you all men come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, you forgive them. How blessed is the one whom you choose to bring near to you, to dwell in your courts. We will be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us in righteousness, O God of our salvation. You who are the trust of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest sea, who establishes the mountains by his strength, being girded with might, who stills the roaring of the seas and the roaring of their waves and the tumult of the peoples. They who dwell in the ends of the earth stand in awe of your signs. You make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. You visit the earth and cause it to overflow. You greatly enrich it, and the stream of God is full of water. You prepare their grain, for thus you prepare the earth. You water its furrows abundantly, and you settle its ridges. You soften it with showers, and you bless its growth. You have crowned the year with your bounty, and your paths drip with fatness. The pastures of the wilderness drip, and the hills gird themselves with rejoicing. The meadows are clothed with flocks, and the valleys are covered with grain. They shout for joy. Yes, they sing. So we see in there just the Lord's faithfulness. Notice verse 4, it says, we will be satisfied with the goodness of your house. Are we content with the Lord's provision? How many of you were up this morning early enough to see the sunrise? I don't know, from my house, it was just glorious. It was this soft, just total band of robin's egg blue with pink, and it was pink going to a light purple all the way across the sky. Just amazing. I mean, it was just glorious. And how many of you have been up either early or late this week seeing the moon in all its glory? It's been pretty amazing. So we see that in this psalm. We stand in, you make the dawn and the sunset shout for joy. And the Lord does amazing things just with his sweet provision. I mean, look at the, we're not from a, agrarian society like they were back then. But look at the description here of this is like a farmer would stand in awe of all these verses and all that there. I mean, that is an amazing thing. Your paths drip with fatness and the pastures of the wilderness drip. And it's just an amazing thing. The meadows are clothed with flocks and the valleys covered with grain. It's an amazing thing, like when you go over to eastern Washington in the wheat country when it's just ready for harvest, all the grain you see. I mean, it is just miles of it. And that's what this verse is talking about, is God's amazing provision. And how many of you are like gardening or growing anything? I mean, it's fun to see the Lord just does that. I mean, it just happens and things grow and we sit there and wait for expectation of just kind of looking at it like every other day and see how it's doing. I mean, God makes those things grow and it's just so amazing. Let's look at Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34. Matthew 6, 25 to 34. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? And who of you, being worried, can add a single hour to his life? And why are you worried about clothing? Observe how the lilies of the field grow. They do not till, nor do they spin. Yet I say to you that not even Solomon, in all his glory, clothed himself like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today, and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. So what's the key verse in this section we just read? What's the key verse there? Somebody said it. Say it louder.
Seek first the kingdom of God.
Correct. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. It's a right heart with God that's the key of not worrying about your provision for the day. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your what?
Might.
So we just see that, you know, it's key to having a right heart. So let's look at God's abundant faithfulness in provision in Scripture as we're going to peruse through a few verses on, and just turn to Genesis chapter 2. We see in Genesis 2:9 that they had all they needed to eat in the garden, that every tree was good for food. And in chapter 3, verse 21, we see that the Lord clothed them with skins for covering after they had sinned. He made provision for them. In Genesis 13, 5 and 6, 13, 5 and 6, it says, now Lot, who went with Abraham, also had flocks and herds and tents, and the land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to remain together. Can you imagine the amount of herds that they had that they couldn't be together? I mean, that is a lot of animals. Pretty amazing. And then if we look over at Genesis 21, 1 through 5, we see God's sweet provision for for Abraham having a son. And then 21, 1 through 5, I'll read that. Then the Lord took took note of Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he promised. So Sarah conceived and bore a son to Abraham in his old age at the appointed time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Then Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 days old, as God had commanded him. And now Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. So we see amazing God's provision. And a couple of key sections there. Notice, as he had promised in verse 1. And at the appointed time in verse 2, of which God had spoken to him. God is faithful. Now let's turn over another chapter to 22 and look at God's amazing provision in that. And let's look at verses 12 to 14. And he's talking to, the angel is talking to Abraham. And he said, "Do not stretch out your hand against the lad and do nothing to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." Then Abraham raised his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the place of his son. And Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide," as it is said to this day, "In the mount of the Lord it will be provided." God's amazing provision here, and it's just an amazing answer to Abraham's test of God testing his faith. Let's look over at Exodus 12, 35 and 36. Now the sons of Israel had done according to the words of Moses, for they had requested from the Egyptians articles of silver, and articles of gold and clothing. And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they let them have their request. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. And notice in there, God had given them favor among the Egyptians. It's an amazing thing to be given favor. Now let's look at some of the most familiar verses of the manna and the quail in Exodus 16, 1 through 7. This is just a miraculous provision, and God's... Notice the attitude of the people in here, most of all. "Then they set out from Elim, and all the congregation of the sons of Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure from the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the sons of Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the sons of Israel said to them, 'Would that we had died by the Lord's hand in the land of Egypt, when we sat by pots of meat, when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger.' Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a day's portion every day, that I may test them whether they will walk in my instruction. And on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather daily.' So Moses and Aaron said to the sons of Israel, 'At evening you will know that the Lord has brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you will see the glory of the Lord, for he hears your grumblings against the Lord, and what are we that you grumble against us?'" And let's go down to 17 to 36. "And the sons of Israel did so, and some gathered little, and some gathered much. And when they measured it with an omer, he who had gathered much had no excess, and he who had gathered little had no lack. And every man gathered as much as he should eat. And Moses said to them, 'Let no man leave any of it until morning. But they did not listen to Moses, and some left part of it until morning, and it bred worms and became foul, and Moses was angry with them. And they gathered it morning by morning, every man as much as he should eat. But when the sun grew hot, it would melt. Now on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And when all the leaders of the congregation came and told Moses, then he said to them, "This is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a Sabbath observance, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. Bake what you will bake and boil what you will boil, and all that is left over put aside to be kept until morning." So they put it aside until morning as Moses had ordered, and it did not become foul, nor was there any worm in it. And Moses said, "Eat it today, for today is a Sabbath to the Lord, and today you will not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none." And it came about on the seventh day that some of the people went out to gather, but they found none. Then the Lord said to Moses, "How long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my instructions? See, the Lord has given you the Sabbath, therefore he gives you bread for 2 days on the sixth day. Remain every man in his place, and let no man go out of his place on the seventh day." So the people rested on the seventh day. And the house of Israel named it manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and its taste was like wafers with honey. Then Moses said, "This is what the Lord has commanded. Let an omerful of it be kept throughout all your generations, that they may see the bread that I fed you in the wilderness when I brought you out of the land of Egypt." And Moses said to Aaron, "Take a jar and put an omerful of manna in it, and place it before the Lord to be kept throughout all your generations." As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron placed it before the testimony to be kept. And the sons of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came into the inhabited land, and they ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. It's pretty amazing, God's provision here and of the manna. And you see their attitude about grumbling and complaining. And notice, too, that some of them didn't observe what they were supposed to do. Another thing, I didn't look up that scripture, but I've mentioned before in some of my teaching in the past years about how the Lord provided their clothes didn't wear out and their shoes didn't wear out during this time period. I mean, can you imagine having clothes and shoes for the same 40 years? We're worried about being in fashion for the next 6 months or something, you know. But for 40 years, I mean, that is truly amazing. And it's just really fun to see in God's Word His very sweet provision, even though they were grumbling and complaining. Let's look at the issue on the quail. Let's turn over to Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Let's look at verses 18 through 23. Numbers 11. 18 to 23. "Say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Oh, that someone would give us meat to eat, for we were well off in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. You shall eat not 1 day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, nor 10 days, nor 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why did we ever leave Egypt? But Moses said, The people among whom I am are 600,000 on foot, yet you have said, I will give them meat so that they may eat for a whole month. Should flocks and herds be slaughtered for them to be sufficient for them? Or should all the fish of the sea be gathered together for them to be sufficient for them? The Lord said to Moses, Is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not. And so we see God's provision of this. And then let's look at verses 31 through 34. Now there went forth a wind from the Lord, and it brought quail from the sea, and let them fall beside the camp, about a day's journey on this side and a day's journey on the other side, all around the camp, and about 2 cubits deep on the surface of the ground. And the people spent all day and all night and all the next day and gathered the quail. He who gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them out for themselves all around camp. And while the meat was still between their teeth, before it was chewed, the anger of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord struck the people with a very severe plague. So the name of that place was called Havoth, because they were buried, because there they buried the people who had been greedy. So what do you see in this picture here? What was... notice they spent all day, all night, and the next day gathering. What did that display of their attitude? Anybody? Say it loud.
They didn't trust God and they were greedy.
Yes, they didn't trust God and they were greedy. They weren't trusting in the daily provision. If we look back at Exodus 16, And just to remind us what we read, in verse 4, the later half of the verse, it says, that I may test them whether or not they will walk in my instruction. And if we turn over and look at verses 12 and 13, I have heard the grumblings of the sons of Israel. Speak to them, saying, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God. So it came about at evening that the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. So they had their daily provision, and God was testing them to see whether they would walk in His instruction. And it's just like, are we being tested daily to see if we walk in God's, in obedience to God? Do we trust in His provision, or are we trying to do everything for ourselves? And if we look at Luke 10, Pastor spoke about this just not very long ago. Luke 10. Luke 10:4, and Jesus said, carry no money belt, no bag, no shoes, and greet no one on the way. And now if we look over at Luke 22:35, Luke 22:35, and He said to them, when I sent you out without money belt, bag, and sandals, did you lack anything? And they said, no, nothing. And so we see that the Lord provided in amazing ways, wonderful ways for them, all of their daily needs that they had. So let's look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37, 23 to 28. Psalm 37:23-28. The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And when he falls, he will not be hurled headlong, because the Lord is the one who holds his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, or his descendants begging bread. All day long he is gracious and lends, and his descendants are a blessing. Depart from evil and do good, and so you will abide forever. For the Lord loves justice and does not forsake his godly ones. They are preserved forever, but the descendants of the wicked will be cut off. Notice in there, verse 25, you won't see them begging bread. God, in his sweet provision, provides their daily need. And in verse 28, he says he does not forsake his godly ones. It's an amazing picture here we see in Psalm 37. Let's take a look in 1 Kings. 1 Kings 17. It's about Elijah. I guess he was born lately, somebody said. Just messing. I'm hard of hearing, so I didn't hear about the baby being born. But so when Ray was praying this morning, didn't he mention Elijah? Yeah. And so I thought, wow, he already knew I'm talking on Elijah this morning. Yeah. As the Lord would have it, you know. So, anyway. Here we go. 1 Kings 17, 2 through 16. And just look at the amazing picture here. And the word came to him, saying, go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook. And I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is on the east side of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up, and because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, arise, and go to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and stay there. And behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So they arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink. And as she was going to get it, he called to her and said, please bring me a little piece of bread in your hand. But she said, as the Lord your God lives, I have no bread, only a handful of flour in the bowl and a little oil in the jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go in and prepare for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Then Elijah said to her, do not fear. Go do as you have said, but make me a little bread cake from it first and bring it out to me, and afterward you may make one for yourself and for your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the bowl of flour shall not be exhausted, nor shall the jar of oil be empty until the day of the Lord sends rain on the face of the earth. So she went and did according to the word of Elijah, and she and he and her household ate for many days. The bowl of flour was not exhausted, nor did the jar of oil become empty, according to the word of the Lord, which he spoke through Elijah. So we see a couple amazing pictures here. Bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the book. How many have ever seen scavenger birds at work? Do you ever see them sharing? Do they share? No. This is an amazing picture of God directing scavenger birds to share a meal with Elijah. And it's a picture of bread and meat. So you've got more than just one bird. You've got probably a couple birds doing this. It's an amazing picture of God being in control of all things. And it's an amazing picture of God strengthening Elijah's faith in going to this other town. And after she says that, I don't have any food, and Elijah's probably, Oh, no. But the Lord provided for this amazing bowl of flour and the jar of oil not to run dry until this appointed time. So we see this amazing picture. We see in Luke 7, 11 through 17, we see the widow's son raised from the dead, and her son was her provider for her being a widow. Well, so we see that, you know, being raised from the dead, God does things in amazing ways. Not that people will be raised from the dead, but He looks out for our daily needs. And sometimes we go through, I know some of you have done this in your younger years, sometimes we go through a period of eating just beans and hot dogs. You know, it's a time of testing in our lives, and it's a time of growth. Are we really going to rely on the Lord in all that we do? You know, and are we content with it? And, like, do we look to the Lord for His provision for our daily needs or yearly needs? Or do we try to provide everything for ourselves through our job or whatever? I know a couple areas I'll share with you that we pray about every year. Some of our prayers is like our bills. I just pray that the Lord would provide to pay all our bills. And I brought this little ledger book. You know, this is kind of my personal record of God's faithfulness. Do you keep a record of things and look at it once in a while of God's faithfulness to you over the years? And as I was perusing through this, it was kind of funny. I looked and I saw, what's that written down there? And it says, another year of a God's abundant faithfulness. You know, do you leave yourself little notes about God's faithfulness? So just kind of one example. Another example is several people in the church besides us, we heat with wood. And so I'm always praying about wood for the year. And I know some of you have made opportunities for us to get firewood or whatever. But it's amazing the way Lord's provided firewood for us for over 35 years. And another thing we always pray about is I go deer hunting. So I'm always, as soon as I get a deer, I'm always praying for the next year for the Lord to provide a deer. And so I just start praying a year ahead of time. And, you know, I have all these horns in my little woodshed. Some of you have probably seen them, and they're all up there. But it's a visual reminder to me of God's faithfulness to the answer of my prayers, you know. And I always think of that verse when I'm out hunting. The Lord has a cattle on a thousand hills. I'm just praying for one deer. And all I have to do is find where the Lord hid it, you know. So, but, you know, do you have a personal record of you that you can look at to see God's faithfulness in your life? So why don't we, for the next few minutes on our table time, discuss some of the, I know some of you have had some amazing answers to prayer of, you know, something being provided for you in a timely fashion, say you've been out of work or something or other, but share God's faithfulness around your table of what, you know, some amazing ways God's provided for you, say in the nick of time, or just abundant blessing overflowing, and that you've been able to bless others because of what you've been given or stuff like that. And then in about 5 minutes till then, we'll get back together and close, okay? So spend some time around your table sharing about God's amazing provision, okay? Well, let's get back together here, and I know it's really great to share some of your answers to prayer and provision of our daily needs. And we need to do that more often, share what the Lord's answered in prayers to you and just that God's amazing provision with one another, because it increases our faith and it lifts each other up to share these kind of things with one another. And it's just so amazing, God's faithfulness in our daily provision. And the next time we sing that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, you can just look at those words and see how really great God's faithfulness is. You know, summer and winter, springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. So God's faithfulness is amazing. Let's look at Psalm 40, and may this be our prayer. Psalm 40.
Mike, we are singing Great is Thy Faithfulness this morning.
Oh, really? Oh, okay. As it would happen. That's all I can tell you. Okay, Psalm 40, verses 8 through 11. And may this be our personal prayer. I delight to do your will, O my God. Your law is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips. O Lord, you know I have not hidden your righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of your faithfulness and your salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. O Lord, you, O Lord, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time in your word. Lord, increase our faith daily that we would be more Christ-like, that we would walk in your ways and not our own. Teach us from your word as we hear your word taught this morning from John, and may we just have a closer walk with you, Lord. Thank you again. Amen.